evening, everyone, and welcome to the Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. I will be singing songs of Christmas time tonight. Yike! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. I will be doing improv lyrics, so I'll make them up. I am too lazy to learn the words of songs. Who gives a sweet damn? I can sing them anywhere. I will.
Hold on, hold on.
Phil, you've interrupted me one too many times, Phil.
Just hold on, hold on. I gotta tell people what's going on. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I already told them that. Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to. What do you want now?
Hi, folks. This is the Phil Henry Show, and that's what you're gonna be doing tonight.
What I'm going to be doing tonight.
Well, you got to explain this to people. Margaret Gray is going to be singing. A lot of people are saying, how come you don't take phone calls like you used to? How many different questions am I answering? You come next, bud, okay? Tonight, Margaret Gray will be singing some Christmas music, and it's improv lyrics, right?
Yes, it's improv. I was going to explain that while I was singing the song, Brains.
Brains. Man, yeah, that's funny. Well, she did get you there, Phil. That was the whole purpose of her opening the show, was to sing to explain it. Okay, fine. I mean, but I just thought that I could do it better. I didn't know. People ought to consult with me that she's going to do the whole song, and in the body of the song, explain the entire routine that she's going to be doing, as opposed to just a few lines, and then I come in.
And by the way, it's not a routine, all right? I'm not doing juggling. This isn't what did they call it? Vaudeville? Or it was called what, bud?
Dad, you call it vaudeville.
Vaudeville. This is not...
Vaudeville?
Vaudeville, yes. It's not vaudeville. We're not doing a Geico commercial. This is the real deal, my friend. This is Margaret Gray singing... Yeah.
Bud...
Jingle bells, jingle all the way, 2, 3, and oh, what fun.
Anyway, now what's the problem?
People want to know, how come you don't take phone calls?
Well, one of the reasons why we don't take any phone calls is because we don't get any phone calls that we can use. The other reason why we don't take any phone calls is because the talk radio has evolved beyond the phone call, it would appear. The usable, good quality phone call that one can use. Talk radio has, I think, in the intervening years, it's just grown past that. Even with topical talk radio, what, Margaret?
Are you clowns going to be talking about this? Are we going to do jingle bells and so forth?
I thought this was a Christmas music program. It is. But, Bud, why are you asking me that?
Just because I got some emails today.
All right, you could have asked me that before we went on the air, you know. Welcome to the program.
I know, but you weren't here.
Okay, then you could have picked up a phone and called me.
But if you didn't answer?
What if I didn't answer? Did you try?
No.
He didn't know whether you'd answer or not.
You could call up and find out if I'd answer.
Yeah, but if you didn't answer, then where would I be? See? I could call you, but what would that do?
You'd find out whether I was home or not, and then you could talk to me.
See, that's what I kept telling him. I said, call him up. And then you find out if he's there. And he said, well, what if he's not there? And I said, if he's not there, then call another place.
Gee, bud, you know what a telephone is, right?
Yeah, I know what a phone is. I got one.
Well, that's great. You can call more than one guy on it. You could even call somebody else. Maybe find out if I was there. Where, if I'm not where I am, maybe I'm at another number, you know?
Well, you say that now.
Phil, this is what I mean. You know, just let me open the show and you're not going to be boring the audience with this conflict with Bud every...
Good Lord.
Phil, may I say, you should just let her start singing, because I was looking forward to this, and...
All right, I'll do that, but as I said, I want to introduce the show, and as I was doing that, here comes Bud with another piece of business. Anyway, hi, it's Friday night, it's the Phil Henry Show, our number is 855-500-7445, just in case...
Thank you, I'm Margaret Gray. Jingle bells, jingle bells, hey, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride, woo, in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, Jingle bells, jingle. You notice what I'm doing there, Phil? Jingle bells. See, I'm doing a bit of a 5-4 or whatever it is, 7-4 time. Dashing through the snow in a one horse. Now watch this, in a one horse sleigh. Or the we go dashing all the way. See, these are not only, this is going to be a great show tonight. I'm going to show people how to, how good these songs can sound when you do the improv lyric, but also how bad they used to sound as compared to what I'm going to do to them.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Well, isn't it obvious?
No, hold on, Bud. Turn that garbage off. Bud, turn that ear-splitting trash off. Now, what do you mean, isn't it obvious?
Margaret, I'm laughing just at the line alone of, wait till they hear how good these songs can sound as opposed to how they used to sound. That alone made me laugh.
And why did that make you laugh?
Because what I'm hearing you do right now, it's good, but you know, I'm not saying it, but it's very unusual.
That is a good point, Margaret. It's very unusual when you, the way you sing that.
How am I singing it, General, that's so unusual?
Well, you're going jingle bells, jingle, jay, hey, jingle o. I can't describe it.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're going jingle bell, hey, the jingle bell. See, it's like you're adding the word the.
Right there, that's a very good point, Bud. It's like you're adding, you're going jingle bell, the jingle bell, you know.
Both of you guys, I'm very worried. Do you have them on a group plan?
Yeah, they're on a group plan.
I didn't know I was insured through this, whatever this is.
Well, we can certainly do that. So, we'll get you guys in for a quick diagnosis whenever we can. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Would you knock it off with the music already until I get this thing going?
That's a beautiful... Oh, my God, what a sacrilege for you to interrupt a song like... Tidings of Comfort and Joy.
Oh.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you do do.
Anyway.
That, Phil, I hope you don't keep doing that throughout the program because I'm going to be sitting here toweling off. Nothing but...
Yeah, be like a money shot.
How dare you...
Ow!
Say money shot.
She never even hit you.
I know, but I got to make it sound good. Got to make it sound good for the police report.
What police... You don't say... First of all, Bud, don't ever say that again. And secondly, don't ever say that again. And...
What?
Money shot.
Bud, that, you know, uncalled for. Uncalled for.
Well, she said she's toweling off.
Egg, Bud. Egg, egg, egg. That's what I'm talking about. One, two, and a one, two, three. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Martin's version of Sleigh Ride.
We got to take a break.
I beg your pardon?
We're taking a break, and then we'll be right back with Margaret Gray singing some of your favorites here on this Friday night. We're going to be on vacation next week. We will be, however, on our website at Phil TV and HD with some video events each night. So keep that in mind. Also, Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell on Sunday with the Game of the Week. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm Margaret Gray with another... Christmas favorite on the Phil Henry Show. Just hear those sleigh bells ringing, ding, ding, dinging too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with us. Our faces bright and rosy, our cheeks are frozen, our faces frozen. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with them. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. I guess that's a horse. When we're done riding, then we can carve it up for state.
Okay, see, I even see you laughing.
I'm not laughing, I was coughing. Just hear those sleigh bells ringing, ding, ding, dinging too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Bud Dickman, ladies and gentlemen.
And then it goes to the sleigh ride.
Very good, Bud. That was outstanding. You're really getting better. You're really getting better. getting up on it. That's good. Next week, we'll take you to Disneyland. I think they'll let you out.
Thank you.
Do, 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 two, three, four, one, two, three, cowbell. And then we'll go home, eat some pumpkin pie. We'll have a cup of coffee and stuff like that. Oh, what's under the tree? I'd like to open that one there. And there's another one there. I think Frank broke the bank on that one. We can ride along. Well, you know what? You get the idea, Phil. Oh, don't give me the bulkhead stare, okay?
What's the bulkhead stare?
All of you guys, look at all three of you, were staring at me like all four of you, all three, one, two, three. Yeah, the four of you, you're staring at me like there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with you.
Well, Margaret, what was the whole idea of carving the horse up? I could do anything, but I...
General, this song is about taking a sleigh ride. Well, even in these economic times, people are going to be hungry. So it seems a waste to go on a sleigh ride with a horse when there are so many hungry people.
And so at the end of the sleigh ride, you carve the thing up for steaks.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry.
Margaret.
I'm sorry, but I'm very mindful of the poor. This time of year, ladies and gentlemen, please be mindful of the poor.
Yeah, it just seems...
But just be mindful of the poor.
All right, so the that sleigh ride by Margaret Gray... I don't know why, but you're bumming everybody out with your Christmas music so far, you know?
No, I'm not bumming everyone. The people out there in the people, whatever, out there, whatever they're doing, I don't want to... It's nothing against you folks listening. I just don't want to really imagine what you're doing. But whatever they're doing, they're enjoying what I'm doing. And what am I doing? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing.
You're ruining a perfectly good song, as it sounds to me.
No, I am not... You know, this happens to artists all over the world, Phil. Thank God we live in America, or I'd be in a jail cell right now.
Yeah, well, you'd be in a jail cell, all right, but not necessarily for the expressiveness of your art. You'd be in a jail cell for murdering a horse.
I'm not really going to kill... Wow, what a...
They're going to kill the horse. The singer doesn't do it.
The singer of the song doesn't do it. The people in... The characters in the song carve it up.
You know, you're going to have some people out there hearing you singing Sleigh Ride, and the next thing you know, you're going to have the parent... What the hell is that... What's that thing, General?
You're talking about the Parent Council of America.
Yeah, that's what's called. They're going to hear that song, and then a horse is going to turn up in frozen steaks.
Are you trying to tell me the Parent Council of America is going to come down on Sleigh Ride?
If you're recommending that they carve up a horse, yes. So anyway, welcome to our program this evening. That's only 21 minutes into it. I'm still saying welcome to the program. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We also have Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on tonight to talk about Phil Robertson and, you know, his nonsense and a couple of other things we've got going on. Let's see, bud. Take me up to the program notes here. Oh, yeah. I know you're singing tonight, Margaret. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton will be with us. Ted Bell will be explaining his relationship with the Dunphy brothers, and Brass Villanueva should be on to talk a little bit about Feliz Navidad. He honors that song as a beautifully sung Christmas song sung in Spanish, but Brass, as you know, is an empowered Hispanic male who has had his culture beaten out of him by the Anglo culture, so he doesn't know what Feliz Navidad means.
Well, what do you find funny?
Yes, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at how funny that is. That's not funny to you?
What do you mean, funny?
The guy is Hispanic. He loves Feliz Navidad, but because he's had his culture beaten out of him by the Anglo culture, he doesn't know what it means. You know?
Well, that's entirely what... You know, I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either. The young man is speaking his mind, you know.
Yeah, okay. So that's what we got going on tonight. We'll find out whether or not the young man is speaking his mind or is he just dumb. That's what we're going to find out tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with that cat. So we, as I mentioned, next week is an off week for us. Whether I get out of here and get to Washington, D.C., I'm not exactly sure because the bad news came down late yesterday. I got to get taxes done. Are you ready for that? This is the holiday season. I mean, I'm telling you, it's... This time last year, I remember how much fun we were having and, you know, anticipating the season and I was just talking to friends and caroling throughout the neighborhood. You were not caroling, were you? No, but I, yeah, just in my mind's eye, I was caroling. That's something that does not happen here on the West Coast. I know it happens back east because the neighborhoods are closer together, right?
Well, Phil, who are you asking that question of?
Well, I was asking Margaret. She's from Pennsylvania.
Phil, I haven't been in Pennsylvania in so long. I know that there is caroling that is done in areas of the country where the neighbors and the neighborhoods are closer together and people know each other and so on and so forth, and many of the houses, and it depends on how far you have to walk. Back east, you can walk two steps, you're at someone else's house. But if you asked me to go out caroling out here, I'd say, not a chance. There's no way in hell.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to walk all that. By the time you get to the next house, you're absolutely destroyed. You're winded. You can't move another step.
When you're out here?
Yes, out here.
Well, what are you talking about? I can walk down the street of any average neighborhood in California.
The houses are too far apart. By the time you get to the next house, you're sick of it. I did it 1 year, and we sang one song, and I think it was Jingle Bells or some asinine, not ad, sorry, I didn't mean to say asinine, but some song like that. And I said, is that it? And they said, we're doing the whole street. I said, oh, you got to be putting me on. I got in the car, Frank was waiting, and he had the engine idling, and I knew that something like that would happen, you know.
So you told Frank to stick around?
Yes, I said, Frank, don't go anywhere, because I think I'm not going to enjoy this. And we got done with one song. We're on our way down to the next house. And I said, well, you can take this and stuff it. I got into Frank's town car, and we were gone.
Now I remember that. That was the year that you sponsored this caroling organization, right?
That's right, yes.
And within one house, you're gone?
Phil, I organized these people, and they sang, and I sang with them at one house. And then I took a look at the street, and I said, there's no way. Were you there that night? No. Did you see the street? No.
Yeah, but you got to go house to house and door to door. That's the whole idea, caroling, go a door to door.
Is that the whole idea of caroling, Bud, go a door to door? Phil, is this Debbie Daly or Bud Dickman? Bud, I want to have your hearing tested.
Why?
Because in about a week, if it keeps disintegrating, it's going to be, yeah. That's what it's going to sound like.
Margaret, that's not funny, because there are people out there that are hearing impaired, you know?
Well, then they can't hear me.
Oh! All right. Look, this is not about anybody scoring any points. I just wanted to hear you give an explanation here about this caroling thing. And you're telling me that you, even though you sponsored this, because I remember when you sponsored that organization, you do one house, Frank's waiting in the town car, and off you go. What did the people say to you?
What people?
The people that were caroling with you.
Phil, I started the organization so that these people who were, to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of them were overweight. And I thought if I can get them out and they move a little bit of that fat, if they can just begin to move the fat, that's all I ask. That's all any of us can ask.
That's not fair to tell somebody go out and move their fat and you're not going to be there. You're probably going to want to hit me for this, but what about your fat?
You're right, I am, bud.
Yow!
You missed him.
Do you have to let everyone know that?
Yeah, sort of.
Gotta make it look good.
Hey, if you guys are going to start doing theater, theater of the abuse, how about that? You want to make it sound like you're smacking him, or do you really want to smack him?
I really want to smack him, but I don't want to be arrested.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my permission to go ahead and smack. Yeah.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
Yeah.
All right, fine. So, anyway, so that was that, and so there's no caroling. Isn't that what your question was, Robert or General?
Well, someone said you'd been caroling.
No, I haven't. I've not been caroling. Not in our neighborhood. There's no caroling. The only thing that happens in my neighborhood, as it pertains to music, is somebody plugs in an electric guitar in their garage, and next thing you know, there's a whole bunch of people pulling chairs around, and it's really loud. And it's really cool. And it's there's another tradition we have here at the beach.
What was that about?
Yeah, you're all like, what was that?
I was just mimicking like a dumb stone surfer. There's another thing that we do around here. This is cool. Now, I don't know whether or not our neighbor, the guy that used to dig the hole out on the beach, one of the guys used to dig a big pit. And then was it New Year's Eve? I think it was New Year's Eve. Everybody would drag their tree down the street to the beach and throw their tree into the pit and light the trees on fire.
That's bitching.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen that in a while, so I don't know whether they still do it. Hell, I'll volunteer to dig the damn pit. That's how cool it is. Because, you know, once your tree gets dried out, brother, you don't really want to be, you don't want that thing hanging around the house. You don't want a dried out tree hanging around your house. You don't know what it can do. It'll burn itself. It'll set the house on fire on purpose. Anyway, so they drag it down to the end of the street and they do what they do. And it's a lot of fun. I'll see if that happens this year or not. This sounds like it might be Christmas music, but it isn't. It's Linkin Park. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Please stand by.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry, I didn't have the song ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Margaret Gray. I was going to sing I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, but my co-host here, one of the members of the panel...
Wait. I'm the host of the show.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's the host of the show. Why don't you sing it, Phil?
Kissing Santa Claus.
I'll do it. Underneath the Christmas tree one night, well, Daddy woke up, got his gun. I
can't do that.
I don't know what the words are, and I'm having a hard time making up the words to this song because I didn't get enough time. Anyway, this is our Christmas song evening, and I was planning on doing my improv.
Yeah, that's great. We have Ted Bell.
Yeah, that's great.
Phil, don't blow it off like I'm just... something, you know, I'm something that I'm at the checkout stand. I'm not the World Weekly News, Phil, and you're the groceries. I'm part of the groceries. Do you understand? Me, Margaret Gray.
Great. Good for you. We're not quite ready for you just yet, Ms. Gray. God bless you. It's time now, though, to visit Ted Bell. You know, what we have to do is get Ted in here, and then we'll do another song. Is that okay with you?
Yes, I need to warm up anyway.
For me?
Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to come on the program tonight and explain the Dunphy brothers, their relationship with me, because there's been some confusion. They're not mobbed up.
Okay, that's great.
Well, you know, I'm trying to, I want to get the truth of the matter out on the table as fast as I can, and the truth of the matter is that the Dunphy brothers come in here on Wednesday nights, on Thursday nights, on Friday nights, I think they're here every night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you said they're not there on Wednesday night.
No, I just said they're there on Wednesday, or here on Wednesday night. I don't know where they are on Tuesday. No, they're here on Tuesday night. So they're here pretty much every night except Monday night.
I think you said they're there on Monday night.
No, I didn't.
Well, I know they're there on Monday night because Frank's there. That's when Frank gets his Caesar salad.
Yeah, so Frank gets a Caesar salad, so what?
And he sees the Dunphys hanging around the bar.
All right, well, then they're here on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're here every night, but they're here Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday.
You mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
That's right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Thursday. I don't know. In any event, Phil, the Dunphys are very dear friends of mine, all right? When you intimate that they are connected or mobbed up, look, this is not a TV show, okay? We're not doing, sitting around and talking to Jerry Capecchi or whatever that guy, you know, doing Gangland.
Jerry Capecchi or Capici from the Daily News. He's got a column called Gangland.
Okay, good. I mean, we're not sitting around chit-chatting that stuff. Do you understand? The Dunphys are regular business people. They love to gamble. I've placed some bets with them. I don't want anybody to think that I'm not doing anything illegally. I do it through their sports book in Las Vegas, Dunphy Brothers. And I think that's what it's called. I know there's an office I go into. There's a door that I go through.
Well, is it legal?
Yes, it's legal. It's in Las Vegas. It is a sports book.
Well, what does it say over the door?
What does it say over the door? I think it says something like Canyon Boulevard. Is that all right with you?
Well, what's the name of the sports book?
It's the Dunphy Brothers. I think it's the Dunphy Brothers. You go into an office, there's a guy that opens the door for you. You go down into a cellar. And then I think you get on a boat. I'm kidding. No, it's...
All right, let's forget about that for a minute. Let's talk about the fact that you've been taking phone calls, and we have, too, an email about whether these guys are crooked.
Look, Bill, you're going to get me killed, okay?
How can you be killed if they're not mobbed up?
They'll kill me. That kind of thing will turn a man into a killer. So in other words, they're not mobbed up, they're not connected, but if people keep saying that they are, then they'll say, well, I might as well then go ahead and kill this guy, because my life's over, my career's over, everybody thinks that I'm mobbed up and that I'm a mafia. So
in other words, they're not criminals, but because the rumor is out that they're criminals, they might as well go ahead and kill you, because they can't do they can't have an honest living now that the rumor is that they're criminals. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
And you believe that?
I don't know what I believe. All I know is that these guys have got an arrest record, yes. Were they caught on wiretaps, yes. Does that mean they're criminals? No. All right.
Were they were convicted, were they not, of anything? I mean, were they convicted of a crime? Did they go to jail?
I don't think they've ever been convicted of anything that was violent. And
Ted, do you hear yourself now? Now you're saying, well, they weren't convicted of anything violent. They've been to jail, they've been arrested, but you're beginning to qualify these things.
But Ted, let me ask you, the Dunphy brothers, now, by virtue of their last name, I'm going to assume that they're not made.
Wait a minute, we're not talking about whether they're made or not, they're not criminals, okay?
Well, are they associates?
Oh, well, you guys have been reading too many comic books. Are they associates? These guys are just a couple of business people that come into my restaurant, and they say, how you doing, Ted? And,
Didn't someone see one of them grab you by the coat and pull you into the back?
Did someone see one of them grab me by the coat? I'd love to meet the guy that saw that, okay?
Well, I think he gave a statement to police.
He gave a statement to the police. I remember. Okay, I know the yes. All right, yeah, no. You got that. Yeah, I remember that guy. I remember him. He was some nosy patron who I won't let him in my restaurant again.
It was Frank Gray.
It was Frank Gray. Yes, it was.
You're talking about my husband. That's right. He saw the night one of them grabbed you by the coat and roughed you up in the kitchen, I think.
No. Here's the look. It was Frank Gray.
And you're calling him nosy.
I'm saying that Frank... Did you get me on the program tonight, Phil, to make me look like about 100 yards of ass? Is that what you're trying to do? Because you're succeeding.
No, I just wanted to allow you the opportunity that you asked for to explain your relationship to the Dunphy brothers. Now we've got a guy who's seen this, and he happens to be a guy who is closely associated with our show, Margaret's husband, Frank.
All right, Frank is a wonderful guy. I love him dearly.
Yes, but you said he was a nosy so-and-so.
I didn't know it was Frank you were talking about. I thought it was somebody else. And it'd be somebody, if it was somebody else, they're nosy. If it's Frank, thank you, Frank, for looking out for me. But I can assure you, Frank, wherever you are, that I'm fine, that the Dunphys, if they did grab me by the coat and pull me into the kitchen, it was probably they were being enthusiastic about some kind of I don't know.
Well, why don't you get Frank on the phone?
Wait, hold on, General. I'll do that. Get Frank on the phone, would you please?
Who should I see?
What?
Well, who should I obey?
Who should you obey? They both asked you to get Frank on the phone.
Yeah, but which one?
Just get Frank on the phone. Me, okay?
Well, no, you're not the one. Obey me.
I'm the one that said it first, though.
Are you people crazy or something? Get Frank on the phone.
You know, Phil, this is why you want to just get out of radio and not go into the restaurant business, but just go into the restaurant, just live in my restaurant. Just come in here and sit and eat and drink until you die. That's what you should do. I think that's the way you should spend your retirement. Get out of radio, come in here, and with whatever money you have left, eat and drink till you die.
You have no idea how good that sounds to me right about now.
Oh, yeah. So you want to sit and blimp out? You want to go down to Ted's of Beverly and blimp out, drink and eat until you blimp, huh?
Yes, drink and eat until I blimp. You got him?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get Frank Gray on the phone here, who witnessed one of the Dunphy brothers grab Ted Bell. You're saying what, Ted?
I'm telling you that the night that Frank saw me being grabbed by, he wasn't grabbing me. He was saying, hey, listen, I want to tell you, and he grabbed me. And
as he grabbed you, he pulled you into the kitchen. You hit your head against the door.
Yeah, well, that was me. That was, you know, I was clumsy. So whatever Frank, hey, Frank, you there?
I'm right here.
Whatever you think you're going to say.
Look, they called me. They called me up, and they wanted me to come on, and I'm here. I don't know what you want me to say to her, but I saw you, Ted, and this boy was a couple of, well, I've got to tell you about maybe 3 months ago, and it was Lee Dunphy, and she grabbed you by the lapel, and I'll tell you what it was right after that Boston game in the World Series, and it didn't come out good for Boston, I can tell you that much, and Dunphy grabs you, and Phil pulls her into the, and I hear them yelling, and I hear her saying, what do you want from me? And then I hear the other one say, I'll tell you what I want from you. I want the rest of that role. And she slapped her. Okay? So,
Who slapped who?
Lee Dunphy slapped Ted Bell. And then she comes out of the back going, ow, or so, I don't know.
Oh, come on, Frank. Don't exaggerate.
Well, no, I saw Ted. Didn't you come out of the back crying and she followed you out?
Who came out of the back crying? I didn't come out of the back crying. If my face was red, it was because I was probably embarrassed. I told a joke, and it was a crude joke, and the guys didn't laugh. So I was my face was probably red.
Let me ask you a question. Does your face also swell up to twice? Boy, I'll tell you.
You all right?
I guess I'm having a hard time breathing, thinking back on that night. Does your face swell up to twice its size when you tell bad jokes?
Oh, isn't that fair? That's cute. Ha, 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 ha.
See what I'm saying?
No. Wait a minute. The laugh machine isn't, it's not finished. Ha, 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 ha. Let me put another quarter in the laugh machine.
All right, Ted, fine. So you are saying you were not struck. Frank is saying that you were.
I'm just going to tell you something, Ted. I'm an officer of the court. I'm a lawyer. Okay?
But Frank...
No, hold on. I'm a lawyer. Now, I know we kid around, but I'm an officer of the court. I am duty-bound to report when I see a criminal crime that has been what a criminal would do, all right? And I don't know whether she was a criminal. I only know what you tell me, and she told me, Phil, that she was not. And so...
Ted told you that Lee Dunphy was not.
Told me that Lee Dunphy was not. He said that he'd known her for years when he met both of them. She was a bookmaker, and so was her brother. They both got married to the same to twins. As a matter of fact, the Dunphys are not twins, as far as I can tell. Are they twins, Ted?
I don't know whether they're not twins. What do you ask me a question like that for?
I'm trying to make polite conversation, okay?
All right, hold on for a minute, because we do have to break.
Don't break now, you jackball. I'm telling a good story here. They married these twins, okay, the Dunphys. And both of these girls were twins. And one of them, Cecilia, he was a jockey. That's it. He was a jockey. And the other sister, he was his manager. And when they married Lee and her brother, Jerry.
All right, hold on for a minute, because once again, this is driving me ape.
Phil, you know all about Frank.
No, I know all about Frank, and I think there are times when I think I can get used to it. But now we know that the Dunphy brothers married twins. One of them was a jockey, and the
yeah, sure.
What's so funny, Miss Emily?
What's so funny? The Dunphy brothers, two bookmakers, and by the way, and he marries a jockey. Boy, I bet you that went down real good in his profession.
You mean hers?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it matters when we're talking to Frank. World famous Phil Henry Show. That ought to be the title of a book, Margaret. If you ever write a book about Frank, just call it Like It Matters When We're Talking About Frank.
I'm writing it down right. That's very good.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. More Christmas music for Margaret here on this beautiful Friday night. I sure hope you guys are doing okay with, is the weather, I was going to say, has the weather chilled out? That's not really the best way to put it. We'll be right back.
And this is Margaret Gray with a Christmas song. Deck the halls with boughs of folly. What are you looking at, bud?
You said a dirty word.
Kill it. Kill the music. Kill that filth. Turn that off, bud. It's giving me a migraine. Oh, God. What did you say?
Margaret, hold on for a minute.
No, I'm asking Bud a question. What did you say?
You said a dirty word.
What dirty word did I say?
It starts with a D, it ends with a K.
Oh, come on, Bud, it's deck the halls.
Yeah, I know, but she goes,
oh, yeah, that's right. It sounded like that to me.
Margaret, I don't want to... But when you started, yeah, I think what happened was you raced through it, and you went, dee the halls with... And it sounds like you want to decorate the... Well, you know, you want to decorate the halls with the... with you-know-what.
Is it likely on a show of featuring Christmas music that I am going to... that I am going to sink to the level of sewage?
Well,
no, just answer my question, any one of you jackballs. Is it likely that I'll swim in the sewage and not just stand on the shoreline and watch it go by, but wade in and luxuriate in it?
I don't know what luxuriate means.
Yeah.
Luxuriate, luxuriate. It means to get into the actual filth, the river of filth, and smile and rub my finger.
Okay, I think Margaret probably made a mistake if she did say that word.
Which I did not say.
All right, sorry, I just wanted to let you know, in case you didn't know, that you went, dee the halls, and there's a lot of little teeny kids that are going to be made to feel that Santa Claus is a perv.
What are you talking about? You are, get over here for a minute.
Yeah? Yeah!
You deserve that and more. I would never scandalize a child. Turn that garbage off. Turn that jungle caterwauling. Turn it off, Bud.
You know, that's... I got to talk to you about that.
What?
One minute you love the music, the next minute it's jungle caterwauling.
Yes, that's right, because when all of a sudden I want to make a point and he plays that music, it goes from being something that is near and dear to my heart to noise, to the sound of a screaming man in a dungeon as a hot poker is being a... You go ahead and laugh, Phil.
Well, Phil, I don't think it's that funny. I certainly know what she means, except most of this music sounds that way all the time to me.
Christmas music.
Yes,
You don't like it, huh?
Well, no, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that when I hear a lot of it being sung... Hold on, my voice is...
Yeah. Okay, he's got to go and get his water again. General, you need to go to an ear, nose, and throat guy. And when I say ear, nose, and throat, Bud, I don't mean just one ear. I do mean two.
Thank you. I'm glad you clarified that.
You're welcome. Jeez.
You got to be kidding.
All right, sing the song.
Deck the halls. Deck. D-E-C-K. Deck the halls with boughs of folly. La 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly. La 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 la. Now we don our gay apparel. Fa la 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 la. Turn it off. Turn it off. I cannot stand myself. It's like I'm sealed in a pit of my own filth. Turn it off, please. God.
What's wrong?
It's the wrong key. I can't sing that, Robert.
Well, I'll try to find the right key. Go ahead and try it one more time.
Try it one more time. It's not going to get any better.
Just try it.
All right. Deck the halls with boughs of folly. Ha ha la ha ha ha. La 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 ha ha ha. Dee 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 dee. Now we don our blank apparel. La 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 hee hee ha ha ha. Hee 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 hee. What?
If you don't mind, you know.
Why did you interrupt me?
I'm just... What's with the hee hee ha ha and then the now we don our blank apparel?
Gay. We've got a lot of people out there, Phil, that are offended. You heard Phil Robertson. He laid down the law to America. He said...
Phil Robertson is a jackass, okay? That's the official stand of the Phil Henry Show. Phil Robertson needs a doctor. He needs mental evaluation. That's how weirded out that cat is.
Is that... And you're willing to stand by that statement?
Yes, I am. Willing to stand by that statement.
And I can quote you.
Quote me. I don't care.
You are saying, Mr. Henry... That the...
Will you knock it off? Yes, I am. I'm saying the guy is cuckoo with all that stuff he's saying about gay people. Give me a break. And you were going, now we don our blank apparel so you don't piss anybody off?
It is now, Phil, probably more prudent of me to sing the song in a sanitized version.
Yeah, but...
No, a sanitized version. La, 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 la. music that's in the right key. God, turn it off. Would you turn it off before I self-mutilate?
Sorry.
Thank you. All right, try it again. One, two, three, and a one, two, three. Heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, full layout. Deck the halls with boughs of folly. La 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 la. See, I get caught in that. That's right. La la la. Now we don our homosexual apparel. La la la. What?
Now we don our homosexual apparel.
You wanted me to...
Well, just put gay in there, will you? Put the gay in there.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, that was... Deck the halls with boughs of folly. Ha-la-la-la-la. Ha-ha-la-ha-la-la. I... La 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 la. Now we don our gay apparel. La, la, la. I'm still trying to find that key.
All right, that's fine. You find it during the break. How about that?
Okay, Daddy, I'll do that.
Good God. The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back. Margaret's got some more Christmas music to sing for you, and we've got... Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy to talk about Phil Robertson, speak of the demon, and Brass Villanueva on Feliz Navidad. He may be Spanish, but he doesn't understand that song because of the cultural, you know, thing that just...
Whatever.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and this is another timeless classic. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last week. Ooh!
What do you mean last week? Last night.
Kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. Just kill it. Either the song or it, meaning Bud, kill it.
What's wrong?
Well, you know what's wrong.
I wasn't in the room.
Bud opened his big fat trap, Phil. I heard it. And Bud goes, what, you know, he said it.
Yeah, thanks for snitching on me.
Bud, I'm going to snitch on you when you open the hole under your nose, and out of it comes complete nonsense, non sequiturs, and unneeded noise, while Margaret's trying to sing the song.
Yeah, what do you think? She said last week, and Bud said sang it wrong.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. I'm giving it my touch. Do you understand? I'm trying to update these songs, Phil.
Well, I understand.
Well, I want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to Bud, because when I look at you, Bud, and I talk to you, the dead stare that comes out of your skull is, as we've often said, it's reminiscent of, it's even more sinister than any doll's eyes. It's...
Well, it's like, it's not Barbie.
No, it's not like Barbie, no. It's a more deadly doll than Barbie. I don't know why.
All right, well, let's forget about that and just try to get into this. Hi, everybody. It's the Phil Henry Show. Here's Margaret Gray.
Wait a minute. Don't ever do that when I'm not ready. I'm standing here. I'm scratching my you-know-what.
Yes, you were. Well, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, don't say. All right, you ready?
I'm ready now, yeah.
One, two, three, and a one, two, three, and a one, two. What? Don't do it yet. This is the countdown to...
Will you get to it, for God's sake?
Get a load of you, General.
Come on, Margaret.
Sorry. One, two, three, and a one, two, three. Now, what we're going to be doing here, Phil, please.
God.
All right, go ahead. I'll butcher it. One, two, three, go. I'm now going to carve the song up, because Phil doesn't have time for me to set it up right. I saw mommy kissing
So that's how it's going to be, huh?
Yes. I'm not even in the mood.
You know, Miss Gray, you ought to grow up a little bit.
Hold on. Turn the filth down. What did you say?
I said you ought to grow up a little bit and just do the job, and you can't have your way every time.
Yay. Thank you, Robert. Needed to be said.
So you're going to let, and I'm very liberal, Robert, you're going to let a black man...
Oh, get a load of you. Margaret, that is Boy, that...
There's nothing wrong with what I just... Never mind.
I thought you were liberal. You're talking about a black man telling you what to do?
I'm not used to it, that's all, okay? It's like taking orders... Never mind.
Like taking orders from a guy that parks your car, yeah. I know how it feels. Ow!
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Pain in the ass. Oh, well, guess what? I saw Mommy. Yes, I did. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Underneath the mistletoe, just the other night. Well, his pants were pulled down. Wait a minute, Phil. Wait a minute.
No, I'm not. We're not going there.
Phil, I was going to make it clean, but I...
No, we're not going there, okay? Because I got Chris Norton hanging on the line. Did you guys cook something up?
He said, thanks a lot for blowing it. He said he has a movie that he's producing.
And what's it called?
I Saw Mommy.
I Saw Mommy Blanking Santa Claus.
Not blank. No, not the bad one. The less bad one. The Bill Clinton one.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Oh, yeah, that's not that bad. All right, we're going to get Chris Norton on here in a second. I got Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton hanging out there in West Virginia at the state capitol. They're ready to go home, okay? They are ready to go home. They are ready to kick it off for the... they're ready to kick the holidays off for the night, and they don't want to do any more of anything else. So they've been very patiently waiting. Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, just outside the state capitol there. And a very Merry Christmas to you guys, and a Happy New Year. Guy, how are you?
Hey, Bill, Happy New Year to you. And
hey, Bill, Happy New Year. Guy brought me a Happy New Year. Everybody out in the California area and back there.
And I hope that you guys have a great holiday. Let's talk about Phil Robertson. The reason why, just so you guys know, Kurt and Guy wanted to come on the air. Both of these gentlemen, by the way, members of the West Virginia State Legislature. State senators, right?
State senators now. And Kurt, Guy is coming up on how many years, Guy?
I'm coming up on 36 years, Phil.
36 years as a state senator. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, Phil Robertson, Phil, this is a man that comes from the deep woods. I don't know much about this guy. I do know that he's the kind of man that gives people that come from the South, especially people that come from the hill country. I'm not talking about the South now. I'm talking about hill people, people that come out from the mountain. I come out from the mountain some 31 years ago, Phil. And I want to stake my claim in this world. I come from the mountain, and I told my daddy, I told my mammy, I told my sister, too, that I ain't going to come back until I stake my claim in this world.
Yeah, not a lot of mountain people going to do that.
Now, you don't hear a lot of mountain people want to do that, but I've done that, and a lot of other mountain people have done that. Now I come out of the mountain and stake my claim. Guy, you come out when, 36 years?
I did not stay late, stay 36 years. I come out here 40 years ago. 40 years ago, come off the mountain.
Guy come off the mountain 40 years ago. He come off that mountain, come down the hill. Want to make a name for himself, stake his claim. Now I come down here, and so the guy, just in time to see some guy dressed up for Halloween with a big long beard, look like a refugee from Lynyrd Skynyrd Road Crew. Y'all come down with a gun and all that stuff. He looked like about 100 yards of hillbilly, and he made me look like a horse's ass. I don't like that. I don't take that very kindly.
Well, the thing we're saying is Phil Robertson don't represent hill people. And I think it's bad.
Well, you know, he's got a lot of support out there.
I understand he got a lot of support, but a lot of dumbass out there.
And by the way, they're not all hill people and mountain people like you guys are saying that support him.
No, I know he's not hill people. I'm talking about from the standpoint of being a hill person coming out of the mountain myself. You know, I proudly wear the mantle of mountain trash because that's what I am.
Yeah, I'm mountain trash too. You come on out of mountain trash, come off the mountain. You trying to make a name for yourself.
I come off that mountain, and Guy come off the mountain. A lot of people come off that mountain. A lot of people walk off that mountain. Some people stroll off that mountain. But I bounced off that mountain. When I come off the mountain, I come off bouncing. And I'll tell you something right now. Of course, I don't literally mean I bounced off the hill, but I did not come off the mountain in a cool, calm, collected way. I didn't come off the mountain in an easy way. I got bounced. I come off it. I caromed off the mountain, almost like a handball, you know.
Yeah, but Kurt and I come off that mountain like handballs.
Okay, you guys came off the mountain like handballs. I don't know, you know.
Well, they're talking about how difficult it was. Guys, hi, it's Margaret.
Oh, Margaret, I look forward to hear your singing, darling. I love to hear, you know what she's saying?
Margaret, by the way, Rudolph, down here at Rose's, you know.
Well, that's fine, guys. I don't like going to that place because I know all you do is
look at the girls in there, but I'm very happy that you're on the air, and I wanted to ask you a question. When you say you caromed off the mountain like handballs, I know that it's a metaphor for something. What is that?
Well, I think it's a metaphor, Margaret, for the fact that while we wanted to stay and help out our families and try to make a living for our families and try to help them eat and bring in the crop and bring in, and manage the animal, they want us the hell out. They kick us out. So I'm coming back, but they kick me out.
You like carry them off like a hard, like a hard ball, you know, like a tennis ball.
Yeah, that's a very good man. You come off that mountain like a tennis ball, like you throw a tennis ball off the side of the house. That's how a lot of people come strolling down off the mountain because they're leaving. They want to leave. Their people want to leave. And they're gone. They're gone, you know. But I said, I'm going to stay here. My family said, get your ass out of here. Not because they want me to be better. I know they want me to be better.
Do it. They wanted them to be better in life, but they also want them the hell out of their hair, you know.
All right, so what you guys are saying is that you came off the mountain like handballs and like tennis balls. I understand that. You came off the mountain. You didn't stroll off the mountain. Now, what does all this have to do with Phil Robertson?
Phil Robertson never come off that mountain. He can be in Hollywood making all that money. I love all these people talking about Phil Robertson, this, that, something else. This guy's in Hollywood, you know, making all that money. And what have you, if this guy is so about the values of the mountain, and mountain values are good values, they ain't got nothing to do with Hollywood. One guy made us look good. I should say one guy made us look bad. And now every dumbass come off the mountain, excuse me for saying that, want to make themselves money.
Who came off the mountain that made you look good?
Well, you know the guy, not good, he made us look bad. I guess it depends that guy from the Beverly Hillbilly.
Yeah, that man come off the hillbilly.
The Beverly Hill, you're talking about Buddy Ebsen?
I don't know who the what's the name of that?
The Clampett Clan was a made-up, those were actors.
Oh, that's based on a true story. That's my understanding.
Was that, so you're saying that was a documentary?
No, not a documentary, but was based on a true story.
Based on a true story, huh?
Yeah, that's my understanding, Phil, based on a true story. That a Clampett Clan come out of Hollywood. I don't know, maybe not. Was there a man named Drysdale out in California? Was a banker? Not the pitcher, but a banker.
I don't know. There was a pitcher named Drysdale.
And a banker?
Yeah, look, you guys are quoting the TV show Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know that was an actual... If that was an actual family that they were basing that that show on, then, you know, my apologies. You know.
Yeah, it could be, Mr. Henry. You're not really sure.
Well, I can tell you that I've been around Beverly. You know the guy to talk to is Ted Bell, and find out if there was a Beverly Hillbillies or not.
Yeah, you got Ted Bell. He's about Beverly Hill, ain't he?
And Ted Bell.
I don't know that I want to bother him. He's just gotten through an interview with us, but we can certainly look up to see whether there was the Clampett Clan. So you're saying that is what pretty much empowers a guy like Robertson?
Oh, yeah. That man like Robertson's going to get empowered by people that go out to Hollywood and make all that money. But you have to understand, Phil Robertson is mountain. He's mountain all the way. He don't like gay. He don't like black. He may be gay. He may be black. And that's the whole thing about being on a mountain, you know?
Yeah, you're talking about being black.
Phil Robertson may be black.
Oh, sure. You know, everybody up there, mixed breed. Everyone done everybody else. Everyone knows everybody else. So he could be black. He's more likely gay. I'm not saying most likely gay, but I'm sure he had gay experience. Because a mountain man, that's the first time for a mountain guy. First time for the mountain, you probably go gay, if you're mountain.
Yeah, that's first time for mountain man. First time for mountain boy, probably not a boy. First mountain boy, do mountain boy.
I didn't understand any of that.
Well, I'll tell you when.
Okay, well, thanks, guys, and have a very happy holiday.
Uh-huh.
Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy, what?
He said mountain boy, do mountain boy.
Okay, there you go. That's what I thought I heard.
So what does that mean?
That's code for the Ted Sex.
Oh, is that code? That ain't code. That came right out and said it.
Well, you didn't hear him say it.
No, I did not. But nonetheless, because their accents are so thick. So what does that mean?
That's the mountain way.
Yeah, it's the mountain way. I've heard that said.
Oh, is that the mountain way? Okay, well, the mountain way is mountain boy do mountain boy.
Yeah, either mountain boy on top of mountain boy, you know.
All right, we got to take a break. I'm told that we are running so late that I'm probably going to be arrested and put in radio jail. World famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. Unreal, man. PhilHenryShow.com. And we'll be right back.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. This is the Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. And what fun it is to ride in an old open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Whee! Dashing through the snow in a one-eyed open sleigh. I'm just kidding around. I meant to say the hopeful horse. It's only got one eye. And that...
What? Well, you know, I don't mean to interrupt, Margaret.
You knew that this is what I was going to do, Phil.
Phil, just let her do the song.
Yeah. What is the horse has only got one eye? You know...
You knew this is what I was going to do, and you interrupted anyway. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to get that song back on.
Well, Margaret, you know...
I'm giving you 4 seconds to get the song back on.
I'm not going to be cowed.
3, 2... Thank you. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. My name is Margaret Gray, and I rule the world. When I tell them to get the song, put it on the air. No one dare F with me or it's their end. Dashing through the snow in my one-horse open sleigh. I'm not working tonight. I've got the slobs filling in. That's right, Phil Hendry. Never mind.
Did you want to finish it?
No, Phil's giving me the look.
No, I didn't mean to give you the look, you know.
Well, you're giving me the look.
I'm not working tonight. I've got the slobs filling in.
That's right. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells, Oh, God, jingle bells. Just nothing but jingle bells. I'm in the nut house 'cause of the bells. Jingle, jingle, jingle. If it's not jingle, jingle in somebody's pocket, well, I can't take it anymore.
All right, Margaret Gray with Jingle Bells.
Can you imagine if that song actually reflected something real?
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Well, sure it does. It was a song written based upon someone's experience, wasn't it?
I would think that it would be, but back in the old days, Phil, when people jingled bells, and they, you know, they jingled bells.
And they jingled bells?
Yes.
Yeah, well, back in the old days when they did that.
You're aware of that, aren't you?
Well, what do you mean they were jingling bells? What were they doing?
They're going around jingling. I don't know, Phil, but that's what they did in the old days. And it would have driven me nuts. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, probably guy going jingle bell.
No, let me give you some perspective, because you people sound so dumb. You guys sound extra special Christmas time dumb tonight. Jingle bells.
Excuse me, General.
No, hold on, Margaret. Jingle bells is based upon the habit that people had back in the 19th century of attaching bells to whatever they had. I don't, you know, it could be anything. Most people walked, so you can well imagine. And the bells would jingle.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's...
Most people walked, so you can imagine what that was.
Yes, that's right.
Did they attach the bells to their asses? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the people that didn't have sleighs, yes.
Yeah, I did sleigh ride.
Well, sleigh ride and jingle bells kind of go together, you know.
Are you listening to us? Here we are sitting around in the 21st century trying to figure out what those meatheads, excuse me for saying this because I honor our ancestors, but after all, they were 19th century. If you want to know what they were all about, take a look at Phil Robertson, then multiply that by 3.
All right, well, look, Jingle Bells was the sound of sleighs, I think, going through the snow, because people had bells on the sleighs, right?
That's right, and the reason why they had bells on the sleighs...
Because it was Christmas.
No, not because it was Christmas, because that let people know It was if they had a traffic jam, I guess.
A traffic jam?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know about a traffic jam.
Yeah. Well, but that's what it was for.
It was to warn other people that they're on the way. It could be pedestrians. It could be some guy on a horse, you know.
Oh, yeah, it might have been a guy on a horse. They had them.
Yes, they did. They had guys on horses. Well, there was probably a sleigh going along somewhere, and that lets people know that the sleigh's on the way.
How come? Did the horse have a bell?
Did the horse have a what?
Did the horse have a bell?
Why would the horse have a bell?
Let people know it's on the way.
I don't know. That's a really good point, man. Maybe people heard horses, but they didn't. Maybe the sleighs were going so damn fast. Because you don't think about it. The sleighs have like two or three horses or four.
Yeah, so it's got like two horsepower.
Two horsepower.
Well, that's what it was, bud. You're absolutely right. It was two horsepower.
Okay. You know, I wonder if we're ever going to let loose of the horsepower metaphor, the horsepower tag that we use for internal combustion engines. You know what I mean?
No, what do you mean?
I mean, I wonder if at some point we'll come up with another term, because horsepower meant a lot to people in the at the turn of the 20th century, people that were using horses, and now they're using internal combustion engines, so they want to know, well, how fast can I go? Well, 20 horse, 30 horses. Now, we imagine, we know what it means. We can get a general idea as to the power that an engine has when we say it's got, say, 400 horsepower, 500 horsepower, but it's different for us because we're not really seeing horses.
Well, you see horses going through the snow.
Yes, like in Sleigh Ride.
No, not even with Sleigh Ride. Not even at Christmas time am I thinking about horses going through the whole thing that you need to be imagining when we talk about horsepower. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com. Don't forget we got... What are you doing?
Hold on.
What are you doing, Margaret?
On, Phil. We'll be right back after these commercials. And then Phil can go and start to cry like a bitch. Boy, I'm going to the toilet.
Wow, that was very, very happy holiday, Margaret.
Well, I'm sorry.
We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but I was going to do a very nice, and then Phil started to go... Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, this is Margaret Gray with another Christmas favorite. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10. Listen once again. With candy canes and silver things and everything is every dee doodly dooty doo. Don't stop the music. Everywhere I go, because I'm the only one who's important in this town. Once I know it's Christmas, I let all the clowns know. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots with real bullets. I'm kidding, that's a little bit of social commentary. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. Oh, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go. Dracula's in a tree and Frankenstein makes three. And, oh, I'm screwing this up. Hold on. Stop the music. Stop it, Bud. Bud, what's he doing? Bud, stop.
Bud, stop the music.
Bud, turn this filth off. Turn this filth off before I report you to the FCC. Thank God.
There you go again, you know.
What is this? There you go again.
Report you to the FCC.
And I told you, See, what happened was I got confused. I started singing Halloween lyrics.
Yeah, I noticed you said Dracula's in a tree, but the tip-off was you went, moo-hoo-ha-ha-ha.
I'm sorry.
You did, Margaret. I think I heard that.
You didn't hear anything, Bud. You were over there fooling around with that. What are those, Robert?
The Twizzlers. We got them at the store.
Okay, you guys can eat Twizzlers. Do you got to be eating them now? Pay attention to what's going on.
I'm trying to get the lid off.
That's great. Get the lid off during a commercial break. Twizzlers.
They don't have that many calories. You can eat them, Mr. Henry.
Isn't that nice to know? Okay, I've got that. Now, what was going on with you?
Well, I don't know, but whatever the general is saying, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I swear to God, Margaret, I heard you go, moo-hoo-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, you did, Margaret.
I did what?
You, for all of a sudden, in the middle of the Christmas song, you went like you were, you know.
Did you just see you two idiots together? This is a great. You guys could have done all that sign language for what's his name down in South Africa. Moo-hoo-ha-ha, rubbing your hands together.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you doing?
This is what she did when she was singing. You, if you guys hadn't been trying to pry the lid off of Twizzlers, you would have seen it. She's going like that in the middle of a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah, like it's Halloween.
Well, I know that I started singing about Dracula. I just...
You know what? You keep talking about everybody else needs a CAT scan.
How dare you, Phil?
Well, you know, you're sitting there going, and you're denying that you did it.
You could get Frank on the line. I know Frank never lies.
Frank doesn't want us to bug him again.
Frank does what I say. Get Frank on the... When you're done with your Twizzlers... Hey, genius? Genius?
Yeah?
When you're done with the Twizzlers, would you get Frank on the phone?
Yes, ma'am.
In the meantime, you'll pardon me, but I'm... Here we go. No, hold on. Here we go. This is... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for the interruption. Sorry for the theatrics.
Well,
Hold on. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Listening once again at the 5 and 10 with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. But the... What? Who, well, these lyrics are driving me nuts. Who? What?
What are you doing?
Turn it off, turn it off, turn it off before I kill again. Go to some other segment. I've got to take this in the back and practice it.
That's what she said.
Why, you dirty...
Hey, watch it, watch it.
How about that?
All right, Bud, you ought to know by now.
You say that's what she said one more time, Bud, and that'll be on your tombstone.
Yeah.
All right, we do have Brass Villanueva in the wings to talk with us this evening. A quick reminder, the Phil Henry website is philhenryshow.com. Tonight, we're actually doing, as we do every night, a video cast of our show. And you can check out the Phil Henry Show video cast by going to philhenryshow.com. It's called Phil TV. And each and every show is not only video cast live, but then we also keep an archive of it. So if you're into that kind of thing, we actually offer a two-tier subscription to our website. You can get audio only, and that is just the audio podcasts as well as the audio archives. And soon, we are going to be on TuneIn, and that's, you know, that, I'm telling you, what the big thing is what are they dragging TuneIn out? What's the story, Robert?
Well, they just want to know how long you want our contract for.
Well, I thought we were going to be on TuneIn here this week, and everybody was assuring me that was going to take place, and I have no reason to believe it isn't going to be very soon, but what was the thing?
They just want to know the term of the contract.
Okay, well, I don't want to start talking about contract with TuneIn on the air, but the fact is we will be on TuneIn, and you'll be able to hear the show live streaming on TuneIn. Also, you'll be able to hear the show live streaming on our website, but be that as it may, we have an audio-only pass, and we also have the... All Access, which gives you the video archives as well as a lot of the other video events on our website. And we'll have a few of those during this week. This week we're taking off for Christmas, but we will be in touch with you via Phil TV and HD and different things on philhenryshow.com. That's kind of the cool part of having our website and having the live features that we do on the website. You know, you can check in with us and we with you anytime you'd like. So it's over at philhenryshow.com. And again, in this coming year, we're going to be developing our own live stream app as well as the live streaming on our website. We're on TuneIn. And there's a whole lot of really exciting things that we've got in store this coming year. It's going to be a groundbreaking, a milestone year for the Phil Henry Show, moving into the new realm of media that, frankly, we've been leading the way, not leading the way, but we've been one of the leading shows, I think, when it comes to moving from traditional platforms into the digital platform, which reminds me, I owe Jimmy Pardo a shirt. Jimmy, I'm sorry, you know, we did the podcast-a-thon, and I promised him an autographed Ted Bell shirt. It's been hard tracking Ted down. We have the shirt. We're going to mail it. And I began thinking of Jimmy because he's one of the other pioneers in the digital realm. Okay, So, Jimmy, the shirt's on the way. The rest of you guys, join us at philhendryshow.com for our webcasts and everything else. All right, so Brass Villanueva is going to be on here in just a second to talk about Feliz Navidad. I thought it would be cool if Margaret's around here, and I guess she isn't. We've got the version of Feliz Navidad, the song, and I don't know whether or not Brass wants to hear that, but it was, I saw it coming up on the karaoke, on this little karaoke thing that we have here. Brass, how are you?
Sir, I'm doing good. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
Brass Villanueva from Los Malos, which is a empowerment, an organization to empower young Hispanic men in our community. And very, very tied, or at least closely tied, wants to be closely tied, is what it says here in the on your website, wants to be closely tied to the Hispanic culture, but you can't be because you've had it beaten out of you by the Anglo culture, correct?
That's correct.
And tell me what that means.
Well, what that means is for the decades I've been alive 27 years, and for those decades I've had my culture, my roots, who I am, the identity, you know, that I try to portray and the identity that I try to go into the world with, I have had beaten out of me by the Anglo culture. Anglo culture, American, so-called American culture, you know, is primarily a European culture, and it's English-speaking culture, and has very little to do with the blended culture of the Hispanic, of the Latin countries, North America and South America, which are not only Spanish, they're Mesquite Indian, they're native to the region. So I don't have any of that because I've been living in the Anglo world. And we continue to try and absorb as much of our own original culture as we possibly can as Hispanic people.
All right, now, Feliz Navidad it holds a special meaning this time of year for you, Brass. Why?
Well, Feliz Navidad is a traditional Hispanic or Latin song. You know, it's a Spanish-speaking song. But because of what has been done to me and other young Latin males in this primarily Anglo culture, I don't know what that means. I can't hear Feliz Navidad. I'm not going to hear that and understand what the man is singing about.
Well, it's Merry Christmas.
Okay, thank you. It's Merry Christmas. But do you understand how humiliating that is for me to have to find out what that means from an Anglo? I should know what that means because I haven't had the Spanish basically beat out of me. And that's the long and the short of it. You know, that's the long and the long and the short of it. That's the long and the longer of it, Mr. Henry, because I don't think it's right for me to have to go on a show. Is this the song?
This is it. This is Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, listen to this. And is it that karaoke that you was doing?
It might be.
I hear some singing, though.
It's a song that was made popular by Jose Feliciano.
See, you even do it better than I do. How do you say that?
It's Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano.
Okay, could you turn that down a little bit? I wanted to point out to any members of Los Malos that are listening tonight, Mr. Henry said Jose Feliciano better than I will or any of you, and he also said Feliz Navidad better than I can. And that also humiliates me. So I've got the double humiliation tonight of asking you what Feliz Navidad means, and I also had the double humiliation of having you pronounce Feliz Navidad good, like you're Mexican. And I'm my people are originally from Mexico.
Where were you born?
I was born in the United States.
Okay, so you're an American, correct?
I am an American by birth, but I am Hispanic. I'm a Latin, Hispanic, Latin, Mexican, Spanish male. Any one of how you would say that. That's what I am.
All right, now you have your computer in front of you, and you're looking at the karaoke of Feliz Navidad as I am. Do you see it?
Yes, I do.
And what does it say? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a whole bunch of Mexicans. I don't know what any of this means.
You know that Feliz Navidad means Merry Christmas.
That's what you just, yeah, you just told me that now.
That's the second time I've told you that.
I understand it's the second time you told me that, but it's not taking because my ability to receive and retain Spanish and the way that a Mexican speaks it has been beat out of me.
Has been beat out of you. Okay. We have with us here Brassville and a Wave Up.
Barry, it's a very complicated topic, and I know you don't understand it, but I can assure you that, I'm looking at right now, Feliz Prospero Ano y Felicidad. I don't know what any of that means. Do you know what that means?
I don't know what it means. I know Feliz Navidad means Merry Christmas.
Okay, that's the third time you told me that, but I'm hearing it fresh like it's brand new.
Because you had your ability to retain Spanish beat out of you.
Yes, sir, that's right. Yes, sir, that's right. As sad as that is, that's what it is.
Well, here's the song.
Right, I hear the song, and is he singing that in English?
He is singing it in English.
See, he had it beat out of him, too.
No, he didn't have it beat out of him. We'll be right back, folks, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. With us is Brassville and the Wave from, from Los Malos. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I'm sorry, but we once again thought we had a Christmas song ready for you, and we did not. I think it's up now, Margaret. You want to do the...
I'll take over from here. All I want for Christmas is you. This isn't all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, bud.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this is a Mariah Carey song.
Mariah, as in Moronica Aya Carey.
Well, no need to be.
Need to be what?
So that's the wrong song, bud.
Do another song. Do Jingle Bell.
I already did Jingle Bells, you... Let me just do this one.
No, you already did this one, too.
I'm gonna kill you. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the... Oh, I'm bored with it.
Anyway, on the line with us is Brass Villanueva from Los Malos, and we're talking with him this evening. You can turn off the... Brass, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm right here. See, you playing that Anglo song is totally beating... This is beating all of my culture out of me, man. God...
Okay, turn it off, will you, bud?
I'm trying to find it.
But yeah, man, you are killing me with this music. You're killing me with the music, man. Get the hell off, man. You're killing me, man. This is genocide, man. It's genocide.
Turn it off, will you? Just turn it off.
Oh, man. Thank you.
What's with you, bud?
Couldn't find a switch.
Boy, if they ever put you up for the death penalty, man, if they ever bring it back and they ever bring back the electric chair, I couldn't find the switch is going to be something I won't want to hear.
Pretty good, Miss Henry.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you, Phil, for getting that music stopped. See, that's the kind of thing that's going to drive me nuts, you know. And I don't need that. You don't need it. None of us need that.
Okay, we're talking here with Brass Villanueva from Los Malos. So what's the answer, man? You have to, first of all, learn what...
Okay, what's so funny? I mean, I know there's a lot that's funny about this, but what were you laughing at right there?
Just the idea that you got to, first of all, learn what Feliz Navidad means.
Right, I do. I've got to learn it, but then it's beat out of me, you know.
What is getting beat out of you? I don't understand.
It's already been beat. My ability to retain Spanish because of the Anglo-dominated culture. And I also understand that a lot of what I'm talking about is pretty old school because most people now have assimilated... most Hispanic people have assimilated. People that are born here, they've assimilated. So I'm way behind. You know, I'm way on all this stuff. But I felt that it was necessary, at least for one more Christmas, to complain about Feliz Navidad. I hear it on the radio all the time.
Now you know it means Merry Christmas, right?
Yeah, right now I do.
So every time I tell you that it means Merry Christmas, you don't remember because it got your ability to retain Spanish got beat out of you.
Yeah, that's right. And,
Well, what does Buenas Noches mean?
I don't know.
It means good night.
Now I know.
And you'll forget.
Probably between now and the next time I hear it, yeah.
You live in a Hispanic neighborhood?
I do live in a Hispanic neighborhood, but nobody wants to talk to me because I'm on the outs with most of the people that live there. These are people that have compromised their beliefs in order to assimilate.
And that means they speak Spanish and English, and they do it very well interchangeably, correct?
Wow, that, you know, that was a whole lot to say, but most people could get it out better than you just did, Mr. Henry. Yes.
I'm sorry, but I'm a little shocked at your inability to retain Spanish. So you live in a neighborhood where everybody speaks Spanish as well as English?
That's correct, yes.
And so you're on the outs in that neighborhood?
That is correct.
Well, I don't wonder why. You're probably a freak in that neighborhood. They may think that you're just a freak.
Yeah, well, that's true. They do. They avoid me. They don't come near me. When I walk down the street, they just—it's like the red tide, the Red Sea, not the red tide, but it smells like the red tide. But that's me, not them. I smell. But they part. No one wants to be around me. And why? Because I've had,
You've had your culture beat out of you, but they haven't.
They have not, because they go ahead and spread for Anglo culture.
Well, let me ask you, spread for Anglo culture. Well, that's a great image.
Well, it's not anything I really want to. I refuse to compromise.
You look at. Do you go? What Mexican? What Spanish food do you eat? Didn't you tell me Taco Bell?
Yeah.
And you don't call that compromising?
That's not compromise. No, that's not compromising. I honestly believe Taco Bell is the best Spanish, Hispanic, Mexican food there is. I know that sounds bad, but that's the only thing I know.
So you think Taco... So you're not compromising. You really think Taco Bell's great?
I do, yes. Even as I say those words, I realize it sounds stupid, but I don't know any better.
Well, why don't you go to a good place? Why don't you go to a good Hispanic place to eat? Or is it the same thing with the language? You get the whole thing beaten out of you.
No, it gets beat out of me.
Who's beating this out of you?
Just walking out into the Anglo culture beats it out of me. So when I go to a good Hispanic restaurant, I have a great meal, I walk out into Anglo culture, and it's like I just took an uppercut. You know, I walk out, I look at a billboard, it's like someone just slapped me across the face and slapped all that Spanish culture out of me. I know it sounds strange, but that's what we're trying to change. We're trying to, right now, Mr. Henry, with our new community center, where young Latin males can go in and... someone will say, Feliz Navidad, and they'll go, yeah, okay, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. So that's one day. The next day you come in and...
And what do? You eat a Taco Bell burrito and someone says to you, that's crap, that's crap, that's crap.
That's not a bad idea, and that's not what we were doing. We were just giving the guy a Taco Bell burrito and saying, what do you think of that? I don't know. But with our new community center...
Your new community center where you...
Okay, I gotta go. If I'm a freak, I'm already a freak in my neighborhood. Now I'm a freak on the radio.
Yeah, pretty much, man. But good luck to you. And when you get the community center opened up, let me know, because I like Feliz Navidad. And will you be playing it a lot down there?
Nonstop, yeah, until we figure out what it means.
All right. So there is...
Well, that's a young man, at least, who's proactive.
Oh, yeah, proactive. That guy... You talk about a nutcase, man. That is Brass Villanueva here on the Phil Henry Show. All right, we'll be back next hour with more of this falderall here on the Friday before our, taking our week off on vacation. But we'll be around philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us over there. Be a part of our BSP family. We'll be right back.
So he had the Hispanic beat out of him.
Yes. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, David Hall is hanging on the line with us. He's got his nephew tonight. This reminds me of that Honeymooners episode, which I realize if I don't date myself enough on this show. But there was one where Ed Norton came in with some little kid from the neighborhood.
Is this his nephew, Buddy? Is it Buddy? What's that kid's name?
Let me just double-check here.
Get him on hell hole right now.
All right, hold on for a minute. Buddy Nefsted.
Buddy Nefsted. Why do I know that name, and why does it scare me?
The kid's a little tiny kid. Let me get David up here. Our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. David G. Hall on the line with us. David, how you doing?
And I'm doing good, Phil. Merry Christmas to you and everybody in your audience. And I got my nephew here, Buddy Nefsted. Buddy is a... He's, I'm telling you, you're going to love this kid. He's a great singer. He plays the drums. He is a, you know, in other words, he does all of what would traditionally be, and I got to be careful here because my brother's listening. It's my brother's son, and my brother gets very Hollywood about all these things. And, you know, I'm the guy that works in Hollywood. My brother, he's a banker, basically a financial advisor.
But when it comes to his kid, all of a sudden he's some kind of a management type. How you doing? Come here, buddy. Come here for a minute, son. So my nephew is Buddy. Say hello to Phil Henry.
Hi, Mr. Henry.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
What are you going to do tonight, man?
We're going shopping.
We're out shopping right now. But here's the thing. Buddy wants to sing All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
Wait a minute, David. I was going to sing that later on.
Okay, Margaret, can't you give the kid a break? You've been singing these songs tonight, carving them up left and right. You know.
What does that mean, carving them up left and right? I've been singing under duress. This is a very difficult situation. Where are you anyway?
Where do you think we'd be a few days before Christmas? We're in a mall. Where are we at, buddy?
We're in a Westburger Mall.
The Westburger Mall. And what are we going to do after we're done shopping?
We're going to go get donuts for breakfast.
We're not getting donuts for death. No. What are we? She's going to hear that. Look, I got to... She's going to hear that. She's going to be out of the car in a shot now. Here she comes now. God. Buddy, what did I tell you? I told you to keep your mouth shut. It's okay, honey. It's okay. It's okay. The kid was joking. Phil, can you hold on for a minute?
Yes, I can hold on.
What's your problem?
I'm always having to hold on for people with these... Go ahead. Do what you got to do.
What happened?
Apparently the kid mentioned Daphne getting donuts. Now she got out of the car. I guess she was in the car.
She was in the car. What? The kid, he's a little tiny kid. He didn't mean anything by it. Dita, do you think... Never mind, buddy. I was going to ask him if he thought you were fat, but he didn't hear me. Just go sit in the car, honey. We'll be out in a minute. Yes, we'll bring... I'm on the air right now. You want me to tell everybody what you... Okay. Yeah, I thought that would calm her down. Just go back and I'll get what you want me to get you. What? I don't know if they have those, the cream-filled ones. Okay, Phil.
Well, that just about telegraphed to the audience what she wants.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. The cream-filled ones, and I'll get you the thing that you want.
It could be cream-filled. It could be shoes. Well, not shoes.
Yeah, donuts.
Oh, would you come on? Kid just opened his yap again, didn't he?
Yeah, we heard it.
Here she comes. She just got out of the car again. No! No! No, honey. Ow! God! She just kicked me in the...
Kick you in the balls.
Hey, buddy, shut. Here she comes again. God. Well, you did it in front of the kids. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If Daphne kicked him in the balls.
You want me to dump that?
Well, if you didn't dump it now, I guess you didn't dump it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Please, buddy, don't say anything.
I'm not saying nothing.
Don't say anything. Oh, man. Direct hit.
What is going on over there?
When the kid opens his yap, she comes out of the car because she heard the other thing. Then she heard the kid say what she did, which was kick me in the you-know-what. She came back and did it again. Oh.
You ought to have people arrested, man. You know what I'm saying? You and me both.
What does that mean, you and me both?
The physical violence that goes on around the two of us is just unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. David's getting kicked in the you-know-what. You're slapping people around left and right.
Well, even you know, Phil, half the time... Mine.
Yeah, a lot of times she misses.
And a lot of times she connects. All right, so, David, you got Buddy there. He's going to sing...
Buddy, do you want to sing All I Want for Christmas, My Two Front Teeth?
Yeah, I want to sing that.
No one's going to tell you that you can't. Get a load of the kid. Boy, you are your father's son. I'll tell you that. I love that. I'm going to sing it. Nobody can tell me that I can't. You know, I could tell you that you can't. What? I said I could tell you that you can't. Yes, I could. Because I'm older than you. What? Because I'm older than you. No, buddy, don't do that. Don't do that. People are seeing. The kid's flipping me the bird. Are you loving this? Don't do that, buddy.
You know what, David? Why don't we do this for another time?
No. Come here. Come here. You're going to sing it.
Do it.
You're going to sing it. He flipped me the bird. Don't you love that? What do I tell Daddy? I'm going to tell Daddy.
Daddy doesn't care. Daddy's telling you to do it.
I don't believe that your daddy taught you how to do it. What a dirty little... All right, let's do this, buddy. Can you hear the music? Put on the headphones. These are the headphones that Mr. Henry uses.
And the one that he uses?
No, these aren't the actual ones that he uses.
Good, because I don't want to get any earwax.
You won't get any earwax from Mr. Henry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the kids. All right, here we go, Phil. This is... Wait a second. This is the song, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, as sung now by my nephew, Buddy Nefsted, the son of Dwayne Nefsted, my brother. Here it is. All I Want for Christmas, you got the lyrics?
Yeah. All I want is Mrs. My Two Front Teeth. My two front teeth, oh, my two front teeth. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. And I could wish a Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say Sister Susie sitting on a sofa. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if I could only whistle. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth?
Yeah.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Then I could wish you Merry Christmas. All I want for Christmas is my
two front teeth. I'm sorry, Phil. We've got a technical problem. I don't seem to be able to...
Okay, what was that about?
Did you hear that? That's an adult man.
Did you hear that, Bud?
Yeah, it sounded very suspicious.
Suspicious? We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Do we still have them all? Is he on the line?
No. David, no. He dropped the phone and ran.
He dropped the phone. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow. You've got to bring that key down, Phil. I'm going to sound like an ass once we're on the air.
We are on the air.
Oh my God.
It's good talking.
Oh my God.
Margaret, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Okay, bud, that's great. So we just embarrassed the living hell out of her. On top of everything else, that Buddy Nefsted, who was that anyway?
Got David's on the phone. He wants to explain.
You got David on the phone?
Yeah.
This ought to be good, man. I'm going to find out what's going on with him. David G. Hall with us. Okay, what happened, man?
That was my brother. That was my brother and I. We pulled a gag. I apologize. That Buddy was not well, and was at home with a cold, and I said, I got this shot I got to do in the Henry Show. He said, well, I do an impression of my son. I said, let's do it. And I thought we'd get away with it, but his voice cracked.
Yeah, his voice cracked, all right. All I want for it. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, see, he said he could tell.
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Is this, Daryl, right?
Yeah, Daryl Nefsted.
Hey, why do you have a different last name from your brother?
My brother took a stage name.
It's my stage name.
Your stage name?
Yeah. Oh, well, excuse me. Are you the only guy in the entertainment world? Well, I know you didn't take a stage name, but a lot of people do take stage names.
I just didn't know that the behind-the-scenes executives did.
Yes, we do. Some of us do, because maybe I was on the air at one time. Did you ever think about that? Oh, yeah. I did news. Do you remember?
Yes, you did. You're right. You're right. So your family name is Nefsted?
Maybe. Maybe Buddy, Daryl and Buddy, maybe Buddy took the name Nefsted, and Daryl and his wife, what's your wife's name? My sister-in-law? Oh, Carolyn. Maybe they took the name Nefsted after Buddy applied for a stage name, which I doubt that he did, because he's only three. But you see, there's all kinds of things in this world, Phil, that are possible every time.
Okay, so that's great.
Why'd you hang up on him?
Because he's babbling, that's why. Why did I hang up on him? Why do you ask me that question? I hung up on him because he's... Daryl took the name Nefstead, but who knows, maybe it was Buddy that took the name Nefstead, his three-year-old son, and Daryl and his wife just followed along. As Margaret comes, Margaret, come on in here, would you please?
I have never in my life felt as if I'd been just passed around a campfire by one percenters.
I apologize, okay? But I don't think it was that much of a violation.
Really? I feel as if the Sons of Anarchy had their paws.
I apologize, but you wanted to do that song.
Do you think I wanted to do that? I told you all night long I wanted to do All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth because I find it charming. I find it effervescent. There is a level of effervescence to it that I love. And you knew that I wanted to do that song. You knew I was planning on doing that song. And you still turned me... You turned me into your field slut.
I don't believe...
Yes, you did, Phil. Turn my sister into a field slut? My brother were here.
I did not do that to you. I think that's a terrible thing to say. What we did do is bring on a little three-year-old boy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, did you bring on a little three-year-old boy?
I mean, okay.
Yeah, he chump changed you, man. Woo! Phil, I've never seen you chump quite like that. But that kid, or whatever it was, that was the adult, right?
Yeah, that was David's brother.
David's brother. The two of them got together and chump you.
They didn't do it on purpose. They said the kid was sick.
And you believe that?
I don't know. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what?
Do you want the song?
What song?
Do All I Want for Christmas is the teeth.
All I Want for Christmas is the teeth. Yeah, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to apologize for everything that's happened. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. My two front teeth. Gee, I want for Christmas those two front teeth. So I can wish you a Merry Christmas. Been so long since I had them teeth. I'd love to have them in my mouth. What?
What's
wrong?
What, bud?
I'm sorry, but Mr. Hall told me to throw the red flag on anything.
What are you throwing a red flag on?
She said it's been a while since I had it in my mouth.
I did not... This is what I'm talking about, Phil.
Let me handle it, will you?
No, but this is what I'm talking about.
Let me handle it.
Phil, may I say something? I think they're overreacting.
Yeah, let me handle it. Guys, that is the song, okay? And she didn't sing that. She said, it's been so long since I've had them in my mouth.
Yes, we heard that. And that can be interpreted to... It can be interpreted in a bad way.
Okay, well, I didn't hear that part. And the Bud's making a good point.
Are you two...
Margaret, just stay out of it.
You guys are really asking for it.
Stay out of it. Robert?
What I heard was, it's been so long since I had all of them in my mouth.
No, that's not what she said. That's no.
She just was talking about Sons of Anarchy, wasn't she? And then she said, wow, it's been so long since I had them in my mouth. I mean, give me a break.
Well, it's a good point.
You know, General, you're senile.
Margaret, Phil told you to stay out of it.
You're senile. You're a senile old...
Just... That's not what she's saying. That's you guys hearing things. You guys are nuts. You butchered up the song. We're spending all this time talking about it. Everybody out there now is thinking something that they shouldn't have been thinking in the first place on account of... Now, what's wrong with you, Bud?
I said, do it.
Now, see, you made him cry.
I didn't make you cry.
Well, it's what Mr. Hoff said to do. You're just doing it.
I got the Buddy Nefstead, who turns out to be his dad, and I got you bawling. Man, it's a few days before Christmas. Come on, let's have some fun.
Okay.
Were you really crying or not?
Yeah, I was, but now I feel better.
Now he feels better. Do you see the idiots you're dealing with? Do you see the mental midget? The mental midget...
Margaret, take it easy. You sound like you're raving in a cell someplace.
The metal midget.
Margaret, please. I think the only thing to do is to do the song again. I'd be more than happy to fill in for Margaret as she calms down.
The metal midget.
Yeah, I think you better. Margaret, be quiet. Somebody get her into the... Put an ice pack on her head, okay?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Metal midget.
Wow. You want to do this, General?
I'd be more than... Ladies and gentlemen, I'm General Galen. I don't have the greatest voice in the world, but I can certainly sing All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth, because it's a wonderful song. And it's been... Well, I guess I'm babbling. All I want for Christmas is the two front teeth. The two front teeth. Yeah, the two front. Can I add a little something to it? Where's Phil? Can I add something to it, Phil?
Yes, sir. What do you want to add to it?
No, I just want to add a little bit of the soul. And...
Sure, yeah.
Right. Start it all over again, will you please? Start it all over again, will you please? Start it all over again.
Bud! Okay.
I just want to add a little bit of the kick, you know, what we used to call kind of a swing kick or a kick swing.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Metal midget.
All I want for Christmas is the two front teeth. Yeah, the two front teeth. That's what I mean right there.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. All I want for Christmas is the two front teeth. Then I can wish you Merry Christmas. Yeah, it seems so long since I had the teeth sitting there in my gums. Oh, sure, I took a baseball bat to the face one night when I was very young. All I want for Christmas is the two front teeth, the two front teeth, the two front teeth. All I want. And the two front teeth. Who's to say I can't have them? It was a while since the two front teeth were in my mouth where they're supposed to be. Then one day I was hitchhiking down the road. I stuck my face out into the street. Along came a Peterbilt semi. All 12 gears hauling. I don't know the words. I'm just making this up.
General, are you done yet?
I'm just making up the words.
I'm making up words about getting hit by a Peterbilt.
And then the Peterbilt knocked my face into...
What are you doing, man? I don't know the words to this. I thought you'd be done. I'm taking care of Margaret over here with an ice pack, and you're singing what?
He's singing about a Peterbilt hit him in the face.
A Peterbilt hit you in the face?
Yes, a Peterbilt hit me in the face. Is there something wrong with that? I got a baseball bat to the face that didn't knock my teeth out. I got a baseball bat to the face that did absolutely nothing. The bat broke across my face, and I took what was left of the bat and knocked the teeth out of the other guy. So if you want me to sing a song about that, I can do that. But I don't know anything about my teeth not being there.
I'm not asking you to... We're on the air. Okay, that was great. That was fantastic, General. Thank you very much.
No, you don't think it was fantastic. You're reading me the riot act.
Well, you're... So, Margaret, are you better?
Metal midget.
No, she's not better.
Well, you see, Phil, the pressure you put that poor woman under.
General, if you can sing All I Want for Christmas with my two... If
All I Want for Christmas with my two front teeth, what, a side of broccoli? Boy, you're in trouble, friend.
No, I'm not in trouble. You are.
No, I think if we took a poll, the audience would say Phil Henry is in deep, deep, dark doo-doo.
What a jackass.
General, you gotta calm down, maybe get an ice pack.
I don't need an ice pack, my friend. Not at all. Margaret needs the ice pack. I think you need to ice down Henry, too.
All right, we're going to be back here on The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you so very deeply there, General, for that. If I hear this song one more time, I'm going to flip my lid, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Margaret Gray. I've just been iced down, and I'd like to dedicate this to all of you. From all of me. Well, not all of me, I'm sorry. From me. From me and all of what I am. And what I am is... my family and Frank, and so it is all of me. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, and it goes something like this. Oh God, I wish it would start.
That was on the air.
Well, then why don't you turn my microphone down? Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Oh, God.
Yeah, that kind of blows.
Yeah, that kind of blows. Start it again, will you? Where are the lyrics to this piece of garbage?
I think they're on the screen.
No, they're not on the screen. Are we on the air still?
Yes, you're on the air.
Where? I don't have any lyrics to this audio swill. I don't have lyrics to this audio decomposing cat. I need the lyrics to the song, please.
We're looking for them now, Margaret.
Because if I don't, would you... Because listening to this song without the lyrics is like having knitting needles driven into my brain, God, get the lyrics.
We're looking for them now, Ms. Gray. We'll have them in a second.
Otherwise, turn this audio version of a stench-ridden, stinking crawl space in a place where God knows how many bodies are buried. Oh, God, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. That's better.
All right. Apparently what we need, Margaret, is the version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas that has the lyrics, because we can't find them.
That, do you think so? Isn't that? Yay. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Hendry thought that up all on his own. Isn't that so? They went for Christmas. Just find it, please.
All right, Margaret, God.
What, don't you think that I would need the lyrics to this audio nightmare that is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
Ms. Gray, you said you love that song.
Yes, I love the song when I have the lyrics to the dirty, filthy pig, but I don't.
All right, we're trying to find it, and we will find it as quickly as we possibly can, Ms. Gray, and I'm just hoping that you will bear with us. Ah, here it is.
Yes, this is it, from Pro Sound Karaoke. Yeah, all right. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, little tiny one. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. 2-3-2, 2-3-2. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide
gay.
From now on, troubles will be miles away. Everyone sing.
Merry Christmas.
Let your heart, Robert.
Be light.
That's right. Frank, wherever you are, from now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself, let's see, I forgot the words. Oh, there they are on the screen. A merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Is that you, Frank?
Yes, I'm right here.
Take it.
From now on, our troubles will be many miles away. Miles and miles away. And David's nephew is finally here. This is Buddy Nefstead. The phone, you little freak. Happy?
I'll take it. Of your faithful friends who are near to us.
Ever near to us, last.
Give me the phone, you filthy little...
Through the years, we'll all of us be together. If the fates allow, or I lose a coin flip, I'm kidding. Hang a shining star upon the highest.
Wow.
Very good, Frank.
Thank you.
And yourself. Merry
little
Christmas.
Now.
That's a duet, Frank and I.
Very good, Margaret. Very lovely. Always knew you could do it. And Frank, thank you. Very good.
Yeah, well, the Nefstead kid, she's here. Do you want to talk to her?
I'm not her. I'm a he.
Yeah, you're an it. That's what you are to me, kid, an it. David Hall left the kid here, Phil.
All right. I don't know what to do what to do about that. Was he at your house?
Was David over there?
Yeah, he was, and I mean, David Daphne, you said he was here, but David, she wasn't here.
Daphne, was it she dropped the kid off?
Yeah, he dropped the kid off, and he said that David would be here in a few minutes, so I'm waiting for her.
And so Buddy's there.
Yeah, she's here. Are you listening to me, Margaret?
Yes, I'm listening, Frank. I don't know what's going on over there.
Daphne came over. He dropped the brat off. So the brat's here. She's here. Now, David, she will be here in a second to pick her up.
Pick up who?
The kid, Buddy Nefstead, the singer.
Buddy.
Oh, the nephew.
Yes, the nephew. So I'm waiting for her to pick up her nephew, and she'll pick her up, and then they'll go and meet Daphne, and I think he's down at another donut shop. I don't know.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What, you know, I don't know everybody was on such a intimate terms. What do you mean?
No, not intimate terms, Phil.
I don't mean it that way, but I didn't know that David was dropping off, or who was it?
No, it was Daphne. Daphne dropped off the Buddy, and Buddy is there with Frank, and Frank's waiting for David, and David's going to pick Buddy up.
Right. I don't know what the hell Daphne, so Daphne and David split up?
Yeah, Daphne's off. She wanted off to get a box of Crullers. And so David stayed at the mall. I think he's looking around. And I don't know what he's doing. He's getting a cup of coffee or something.
So he left Daphne at the donut shop.
Yes. All right. Are we all caught up on that? So.
That was very lovely, Margaret. We appreciate the song.
Well, that is the traditional song. That to me is the Christmas song. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. And I think it's way better than white. I think white Christmas is corrupted. I don't mean this to be cruel to Bing Crosby. I think Bing Crosby, in many ways, is the state-of-the-art Christmas singer. He and Nat King Cole. Nat King Cole, oh! Nat King Cole's Christmas song is beautiful.
Well, that's the state-of-the-art song, isn't it? You know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the state-of-the-art song is probably Rocking Around a Christmas Tree or something like that.
No, I think Santa Claus is going to be in town.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
That's the song. Santa Claus is on his way to town.
No, Santa Claus is on his way to town.
Santa Claus is coming to town. What are you two idiots talking about?
They're idiots, Phil, so who knows what they're talking about. No, the quintessential Christmas song is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Well, what about Santa Claus that came to town?
If you say the title of that song one more time, Bud, I'll take these two fingers and drive them through your skull by way of your eyes. Do you understand me? Are you clear?
Santa Claus came to town.
Hey, Margaret.
I'm going to get it.
Well, at least they are out of the studio. It's Santa Claus is coming to town, Robert.
All right, that's what I said, but Bud said something else.
Well, who cares what Bud said? Bud's got his head so far up as you know what, he'd have to open his mouth to
brush his teeth.
There, right there. That what he said, right there. That's it.
All right. So that was that. All right, I think that we're all done with the Christmas music for at least this year. We're going to take a break, a very quick one. We're not all done with the Christmas music. I'm sure there will be many, many more beautiful songs to be sung, at least on our program. And, well, here's one here, you know.
Is this the one that's beginning to look a lot like the, yeah, this is the one.
What about it?
Well, this is the one that, oh, no, yeah, this is the one that got everybody, we all got fired from the, we were working at a weather station.
This song got all of you guys fired from a weather station?
Oh, yeah. Saying I'm beginning to look, and it went, they had a radio frequency open, and apparently NATO was monitoring the weather from where we were in Newfoundland, working at a Royal Canadian Air Force base, and someone's singing, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and they thought we were fooling around, and we all got canned.
What time of year was it, just out of curiosity?
Well, it was summertime.
Well, why were you guys singing this?
I don't, there was a, something on the radio, I think.
All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry. God almighty. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I hate it, too.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you're seeing the crackling fireplace behind me. What do you think of that, bud?
How'd you do that?
I got just a crackling fireplace off of YouTube. Look at this. Crackling fireplace off of YouTube. I'm wearing a green sweatshirt tonight. It's green and blue. It's sort of an aquamarine and blue. But the green is the wrong thing to wear because I'm still sort of dumb when it comes to green screens.
Well, that's the most jacked up thing. You can see right... Look at that. Your armpit's invisible.
Look at that.
That's weird looking, Phil.
It is. And when I come here with my Mark... come downstairs with my Mark Maron... My Mark Maron coffee mug, you can see right through there because there's a stripe on there. And really, speaking of Mark, excited to be on an episode of Maron, which will be filming in the second week of January. And I will be, I've seen the script. I could tell you, you know, who else is in it, but I won't do that. And we're going to shoot that in, I think, the second week of January. Thanks to everybody over at Maron for inviting me to be on the show. I'm very, very grateful, and it ought to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to the first of many Christmas parties tomorrow night. It's a talent agency Christmas party.
Oh, my God. Is it down on Wilshire?
Well, it's in West L.A., so I anticipate that it's going to be loud, that there's going to be lots of dancing, that it's going to be... it's going to be in a very classy place. There is 1 hour of a host bar, and then after that, you're buying your own. Although I got to tell you, I think having it, anytime anybody says there's a host bar, meaning that they're buying the booze for at least any period, I consider that to be a win, you know.
Well, it is a it's very rare that you'll find anyone at a party picking up the tab, you know.
Well, I don't know. There are many places you go where the drinks are complimentary, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, an industry party, I'm not talking about somebody's home. I'm talking about a party at a place, like a bar or a restaurant. The drinks are free the whole night? I doubt that.
I guess you don't travel in the same circles that Frank and I do. But,
Yeah, you and Frank are traveling with Buddy Nefstead.
Oh, I'm going to...
Hey! Ha-ha, you missed me. Ha-ha, that didn't miss.
That's right.
All right, now, just take it easy, will you?
I don't like being baited by it. I don't mind a couple of laughs, bud. He's all right to have around for laughs, but this is business.
Okay, Johnny, Mark, that's Margaret's Johnny Friendly impression.
Phil, you're going to have to tell me this is a cultural reference that nobody gets.
Ask me if I care, man. Do you think I care? Do you really think I care?
Yes, I do.
You're right. It's from On the Waterfront, you guys. Johnny Friendly says I told you. I already told you.
Yeah, talk about your brother was great to have around for laughs, but this is business.
Right.
Well, that's what I said about you, bud. So how does that make you feel?
I don't care.
I basically called you an idiot.
I don't care.
Margaret, you're not going to win, okay?
I'm belching now, and I don't even want to belch. I'm trying to hold the belch.
So, okay, you're crying?
Yes.
Well, Phil, she's crying because she's been holding the belches back all night.
Isn't that great? Here. Isn't that wonderful?
You're such a pig.
Phil, you have to understand that's a big win for you when Margaret doesn't belch on the air.
Yes, that's great. At the end of the show, what I'd like to do is give credits, and I will say Margaret Gray, and tonight she didn't belch on the air. Let's hear it for her. Yay! You know, so that'd be like, you know, if somebody hit a home run, come on out and tip your cap.
Your sarcasm doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Okay, well, it's fine. So that's a fire that I have burning behind me, bud, but it's actually videotape. It's from YouTube, okay?
So do people do that?
Do people do what?
Do they go to YouTube and get a fireplace?
No, man, I gotta go to YouTube and get a fireplace.
Well, then why do they have it?
They have it so that some people dig having a crackling fire on the computer screen, maybe while they're working, because there's music that goes along with this.
Okay. So it's like festive Christmas music.
Yeah.
Well, who cares? What if you don't want to hear the festive Christmas music, but you want to see the fire?
That's kind of weird, don't you think?
Why is that weird?
Because if it's Christmas time, I can understand having the fire crackling. If you're in an office where there is no fireplace, and you just, for the ambient effect, for whatever reason, you'd like to have the fire there on your screen. Maybe you're doing other work. Maybe you're working on another computer. There are people who have more than, you know, we have more than one computer here in the studio. So maybe that's what they want to do. And meanwhile, they're listening to music from another source. I don't know I'm only guessing.
Well, would you come into the office and put a fire on the computer screen, yes or no?
No, I would not.
So you're calling people that do that strange, if not borderline, what would you call them? Idiot savant?
I'm not calling them anything like that. It's what they want to do. I wouldn't do it. I understand it, though. No, I don't think it's strange at all.
You don't think that's strange? Man, I think that's weird.
No, I think it's a little oddball, too. I wouldn't want to walk into an office and have to one of my, either a superior or a subordinate, and maybe I've got paperwork. You could be planning war games or some communique that you're sending to another battalion, and you have a guy sitting there with this fake fireplace going on his computer screen. I would definitely have to back out of that office. Definitely would back out of that office, improvise, and adapt.
What do you mean improvise and adapt?
You got to improvise and adapt a situation.
That's exactly right, bud. I'd have to improvise and adapt to the situation of one of my underlings sitting there with a fake fire and a screwy look on his face with his tongue out and going, yee hee hee, you know, on the keyboards.
Would you listen to that cigarette cough?
And I don't smoke anymore, either.
You could have fooled me.
What are you laughing at, Phil?
What do you mean you're going into the office and the guys go yee 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 like that?
You have to believe that if a guy's got a fake fire on his computer screen, he's sitting there with his eyes bugged out and a half grin going yee yee yee.
I don't get it. But that's just me, you know.
Well, we're beginning to understand what it means when you say that's just me. What that means, Phil, is essentially this. I'm so weird. You won't like me very much when I get weird.
Okay, so that's like a version of the Hulk.
That's exactly what it is, yes. That's like the Hulk, only not angry, weird.
So if we're taking the metaphor further...
Phil, why don't you just let it go, all right?
Yeah, Phil, let it go.
No, I don't want to let it go. If the Hulk was created by when the doctor got really pissed off and it became the Hulk, what happens if the guy gets really weird?
I don't know. He becomes that guy in front of the computer screen.
Yeah, it probably goes all yee. You know?
What?
But I'm just backing you up.
No, if you're talking about the Hulk and the man gets angry and the big green man, right?
Yes, the big green Hulk is what he is.
All right, the big green Hulk. If he gets weird, then he'd turn into a big, weird man. I don't know.
Yeah, a big, weird man. Like, I don't know. Who's big and weird?
You got me. Anybody that plays defensive end in the NFL, there's a few big and weird guys in there. You know, something like that. I don't know.
Michael Strahan. All right, so we have to go, folks, because it's long overdue. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Have a great, great time off between the holidays, Christmas and New Year's. We will see you throughout the week on Phil TV and HD. Watch our homepage for our video events and various announcements and things. We love you. Merry, merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Always true blue to you. Love. Much love. Phil Henry Show. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blue Cat.